Hello, thanks for joining us for Sunday worship at Romford Salvation Army.
Today we're thinking about encouragement and looking at two characters from the Bible found in Acts, Paul and Barnabas. There's lots for us to fit in, prayers, testimony, survey results, music and much more. So let's get started with a song. You can tell out the sweet story.
I hope you enjoyed that song, a song that speaks of sharing the good news with others. You can tell out the sweet story. You, yes you, somebody's life will be brighter. Somebody's care will be lighter. Notice it says you, not him or her or them, but you. We can all find ways to share the good news of Jesus. We come now to our time of prayer. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Just where you are sitting now, take a moment to picture Jesus. If there are things that would distract around you, just try for a moment to be quiet and still. Ask Jesus to open your eyes and ears so that you might see and hear him right now and thank him for who he is. There are many people who need our prayers, and I'm going to use the words of Psalm 792, written by Commissioner Keith Banks, to guide our praying today. Thank you for these quiet minutes in this rather busy day. Help me not to waste a moment as I come to think and pray. In my mind, I see a picture of some people feeling low. Bless those people, Lord, and help them find again an inner glow. Lord, some of our members need our prayers today. Valerie Strutt's Aunt Olive died last Sunday and the funeral took place on Wednesday. We pray for Valerie and her family. The funeral for Rachel Hayward's dad will take place tomorrow at South Essex Crem. We pray for Rachel, Hannah, James, and all the family. Jackie Rose had an operation on her hand last week and is recovering well. And Bram Mockett has an operation on his hand this Wednesday. We pray for both of them and pray for your healing. In my mind, I see a picture of some people without bread. Bless those people, Lord, and show me how to share till all are fed. In my mind, I see a picture of some people sleeping rough. Bless those people, Lord, and may I care for them and care enough. Lord, we thank you that Havering Council and other local authorities throughout the UK have managed to house those who are homeless during the pandemic. However, we know that in the coming days, people will be in need due to loss of jobs. We know that children still go hungry. We know that more people may become homeless. Lord, we cry out for justice for all people. that they might have enough to eat and a roof over their heads. Help us to care and care enough. Guide and direct us as we work with other agencies to help meet the needs here in Romford. In my mind, I see a picture of some people all alone. Bless those people, Lord, and help me make your living presence known. I see many needy people in the pictures of my mind. Lord, accept each thought and picture as a prayer for all mankind. Lord, be with all those who are alone today. May your presence be very real to them. Open our eyes to see those we can befriend, call, send a note to, or visit. We want to pray especially for Ron and Daphne Joyce, who will be celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary this Wednesday. Thank you for them, for their life and influence on us and so many. Thank you for the love they have shared for so many years. We thank you for the gift of marriage and remember too Kevin and Tricia and Jenny and Dennis, who are celebrating their Ruby wedding anniversaries. Lord, we pray for our country and our world. We pray for the eradication of the coronavirus, the healing of those who are sick, wisdom for those in leadership, and strength for all the doctors, nurses, and carers who are working so hard. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. Thank you for joining in with our prayers. Please continue to pray for those we have mentioned. As we have said, today we are thinking about encouragement. And one way we can encourage each other in following Jesus is through our testimony. Sharing how we have experienced Jesus in our lives helps others to look out for him in theirs. If our faith has been tested, but we have come through it, it encourages others who might be having a tough time right now. If we pray and see our prayers answered, it encourages others to pray. If we receive guidance from God through reading the Bible, it encourages others to read their Bibles and look for God's direction in their lives. Today, Jeff Fuller is going to give his testimony, and I'm sure he will be an encouragement to many.
Good morning. I thought I'd have a chat this morning about the grace of God. I have a verse which we have in our house which says, "The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not sustain you." I'm a third generation salvationist, and so I was brought up knowing everything was needed to know about the army. Enjoyed every minute of it. But there comes a time, which was my teenage years, when I was 14, and I had a strong feeling that a decision had to be made in my life, which way to go. And it was at a council's in Newcastle, led by General Osborne. And the day went well, but in the evening, he invited us to make commitment. And I'd had a funny experience, a song which everybody loves, which is the founder's song of Boundless Salvation. And you sing this song through, and it's great, but for some reason, a verse had been picked out in my mind as being important to me, and I don't know where that came from. And I think it's the fifth verse, but it says, "The tide is now flowing, I'm touching the waves. I hear the loud call of the mighty to save. My faith's growing bolder, delivered I'll be. I plunge neath the waters, they roll over me." Which was odd because I couldn't swim and I'd be plunging underneath any waters at all, not in real life. But this verse spoke to me of total commitment. And if I was going to do anything at all, this was the decision I had to make. And this was the first feeling of the grace of God in me, because he said, "You plunge beneath those waters." And I did. And so I then My life changed and I grew up, eventually went into the RAF. And in that time, I was conscious of the grace of God in my life at different times. But when the first day in the RAF, when we all had to, all these young lads of 18 met for the first time in a hut, 30 of us, and it was pandemonium. I'd never lived a sheltered life. You can't in the northeast of England live a sheltered life. But this surprised me, because I realized that there was nobody in this hut who recognized the Christian faith in any shape whatsoever. And all I could hear was swearing and blasphemies and everybody trying to get their point home and everybody trying to get to know each other. And I thought, where do I fit into this? What, how can I fit into this? Well, in the evening, when we were all settling down, the hut was still noisy. They were still having a go and all the rest of it. And I walked to the end of my bed and I knelt down and said my prayers. And I didn't know what actually was going to happen. But suddenly a voice shouted, "Will everybody shut up? There's a guy saying his prayers here." And I don't know who that was. And I never found out, which I'm sorry for. And the hut went silent for the first time. And I eventually got up and I thought, I've nailed my colours to the mast. And without saying a word, I brought silence into the hut. And I realised just how powerful the grace of God is in the times when you have to make big decisions. And I had a great time in the RAF, and right through there as a medic, I learned where the grace of God came in and guided and directed my life. My next big challenge was 6 months outside the RAF, back home with my family, and my father and brother are killed in a car crash, and at 21, I have to go and identify them. Like that, you either destroyed or you're made. There's only two ways. It's either destroys you or it makes you. And I was a bit destroyed because I had to now look after my mother and a sister who was 21 years younger than me. And I'm still looking after that sister. In fact, last week we were in Ipswich doing exactly that, her and her husband, trying to help them along. But it made me. It didn't destroy me, it made me. And I came out a stronger person and certainly more mature at that time. And again, I realized how you can carry on your life even in the worst conditions because you've got this grace flowing through you. I was always mindful of another verse which said, "I do not ask thee, Lord, that all my life may be an easy, smooth and pleasant task, would not be good for me. But Lord, I ask today that grace and strength be given to keep me fighting all the way that leads to God and heaven." And that prayer has been answered. And I look back at the points in my life when I needed grace and it was provided. My life and as the Salvation Army were with at that councils where I made a decision to be a Christian by conversion and a Salvationist by conviction. And that's been my life ever since. And in that time, I've found I've been able to be made useful within the Salvation Army. And as I come into my dotage, I still feel I have uses because I still feel the grace of God flowing through me, helping me to go forward. And so we go full circle, which I recommend to everyone, that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. And I'm saying amen to that.
Good morning. Thank you so much to those of you who've added your names to the list of volunteers for the shop. At the moment, we think we've got enough, but we will let you know if anything changes. Just one thing to note, At the moment, we can't have volunteers over the age of 70. So those of you in that age bracket, just relax for now. We'll be back. We're continuing to have Zoom coffee time straight after live worship on a Sunday. The link will be in the comments. To join, all you need to do is click on that link. It's not necessary to download anything at all. The link is the same every week, the same number. It's a great way to be able to say hello to folk face to face, just for a short 15 to 20 minutes. There's also a quiz once every 2 weeks on a Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the evening. The link will be posted on the Facebook page. And the next quiz will be on Tuesday, the 11th of August. Birthdays this last week. Zara was 9 on Monday, and Jordan has his birthday today. Happy birthday.
Now, a lot of you are probably wondering what that jingle is all about, unless you have children in primary, FOJ or Messy Church. And that's because this week the Children's Ministry team and the Messy Church team have launched Summer Kids Online, which is a virtual holiday club for children and their families who attend FOJ, primary and Messy Church. We've launched these to our two private Facebook pages for those children and their families who attend primary, FOJ and Messy Church. This week we've had Bible stories, crafts, dramas, games and songs. And it's been a great opportunity for us as a team to keep relationships with the children and their families who would normally attend, all apart it being virtually. Tomorrow is Monday, and that means it would be the start of a brand new week for us. If you're a part of the Facebook pages, don't forget to check out the new videos that go live at 10 a.m. for you to watch. And for those of you who are slightly above the age to enter in, we would ask for your prayers for the team as they prepare, but also for the children and the families who will watch and engage in the videos throughout the summer holidays.
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God.
Thank you to everyone who completed a survey. 65 people have responded both online and by post, and that's excellent.
Initial results show most people are thinking September would be a good time to restart some sort of worship at the hall, although we obviously have to follow the government guidelines, and who knows what the next few weeks will bring.
A big percentage, the vast majority, show their appreciation of our online Sunday worship experience, which gives another opportunity for us to thank all those involved in the production of the meetings, and also a shout out to those who create and deliver the CDs for those with no internet access.
Although there are some who so enjoy being at home watching the online ministry, they don't want to come back, maybe just yet. It's a mixed bag as we look to the future.
For the very few who said they didn't know how to contact us with their concerns, here are our contact details. You can phone, email, or Facebook message us with any concerns or questions. We'll be happy to hear from you.
In response to the question asking about what we should capture and retain from our recent experiences, people again spoke of the online worship, particularly how good it was to see so many people involved. They also talked about the care they have felt from others.
As far as lessons learned and what we should do differently if we had to do it again, well, we hope we'd be better organised. We're learning as we go along, and whilst lots of people felt the Corps had responded well, there are a few who were concerned about how they were kept in contact with.
As for starting worship without singing or playing, most people would prefer to wait, staying as we are at the moment. But there is a small number who would be happy with just a spoken service.
When listing what we have most missed during lockdown, there are clear front runners: worshipping together, seeing friends and fellowship, and the music.
Finally, this is how the age groups are represented in the survey. Pretty well spread out.
Thanks again for taking part. The results will help us make our decisions as we move forward.
One final note about pastoral groups. There are 200 adults who make up our worshipping community, plus the children. It's difficult for Mark and I to keep regular contact with everyone, so we have tried to put everyone into a pastoral group with a named contact person. If you're not sure who your person is, just ask us or Jenny.
Just a quick correction. After recording and rechecking, we realised there are actually 172 adults and 39 children in our worshipping community. That's 211 in total. That includes all soldiers and adherents and everyone who usually attends on a Sunday.
Yeah. Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, and then verses 13 to 15. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And now verses 13 to 15. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the leaders of the synagogue sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, please speak."
It's good to be encouraged. We decided earlier this week that we'd speak about encouragement today, and since then a number of things have happened to confirm that it's the right thing to do. Since the beginning of the COVID-19 restrictions, I've been back on Twitter in an attempt to get inspiration and wisdom, and because the Pope isn't on Facebook. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff on Twitter, a lot of wide variety of opinions. However, there's also an awful lot of criticism. This week, General Peddle tweeted, "Systematic negative criticism is rampant among us. It has a way of trampling truth, destroying character, and targeting the weak. Keeping your head down does not work. Your mission, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, is to fight this system, encourage and build one another up. It's easy to be critical, but we need to be encouraging. We need to encourage all the members of our core community, especially those who have put themselves out there by taking part in our online meetings, recording themselves singing or praying or preaching or testifying." We're halfway through our look at the book of Acts. Last time we looked at Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, as he becomes known. He'd just been converted on the road to Damascus and had been blinded and then received his sight back. And when he received his sight back, he set about preaching and teaching around Damascus. He did that for about 3 years. He really upset some people. In fact, they threatened to kill him. So after 3 years, he had to escape from Damascus, being let down in a basket over a wall. And he returns to Jerusalem. Now, not surprisingly, the church in Jerusalem aren't very pleased to see him. The last time they saw him, he was holding the coats while Stephen was being stoned to death. In Acts chapter 9, verse 27, we read about one man who steps forward to defend Paul, and that man is Barnabas. His real name is Joseph. He's from Cyprus, but he's known as Barnabas because Barnabas means son of encouragement. Barnabas acts as a guarantor for Paul, saying how he'd been converted and how he'd been preaching and teaching. And so Paul sets about preaching and teaching in Jerusalem. And before long, he upsets a lot of people and they threaten to kill him. And so the brothers in Jerusalem persuade Paul to return to Tarsus and spend some time there. And the Bible says that after Paul had left, there was a time of quiet and peace in Jerusalem. About a decade later, Barnabas is asked to go and have a look at a new church that's growing in Antioch. There's a new church growing in Antioch, and it's growing amongst the Jews and the Greeks. So Barnabas seeks out Paul in Tarsus and invites him to join him in Antioch. Barnabas and Paul spend a year teaching and encouraging the church. Interesting to note here that Barnabas knew where Paul was and what he was doing. For 10 years, Barnabas had probably been keeping an eye on Paul, maybe even keeping in touch with him. Paul seems to have been church planting, preaching, teaching, arguing all around Tarsus and surrounding districts. Paul writes in Galatians that his actions in and around Tarsus had earned him a reputation, even in Jerusalem. Barnabas knows he's the man for the job. It is just after this that Barnabas and Paul are set aside by the church, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, to set off on the missionary journey to Pisidian Antioch, where Paul is invited to give a word of encouragement to the congregation, as we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 15. And so begins the second half of Acts, following Paul's missionary journeys and his companions, including for the most part Barnabas. Barnabas has gone from being a sponsor who sees the change in the Pharisee Paul to the mentor and coach who encourages Paul in his teaching and preaching to the background supporter of the missionary theologian Paul, who himself has become an encourager and would soon have his own disciples, including Timothy and Titus. When we look around our church community, we sometimes get distracted by who's up front, as if they are the most important person, and misled into thinking that if it's not us up front, then we don't count. We know it takes 1,000 people to make a film like Titanic, but people only remember Kate and Leonardo. We know that there are many backroom staff involved in Formula One racing teams, but we only know the drivers. Not everyone can be or has to be center stage, but we can all be encouragers of each other and of our community. We can all be like Barnabas, looking out for potential in people and believing in people, especially those that are younger than us. And let's face it, most of the children by now will have switched off. They'll be playing with toys or doing colouring. So there's lots of people who are younger than us that we can look for to find potential. Maybe not just younger than us in years, maybe people who have less miles on their spiritual mileometer than us on their spiritual journey. People we could look to help, to believe in, to find their potential. As Ollie reminded us last week, he looked up to people of faith. Now he wants to be a man of faith that people look up to. Can you spot anyone with potential? Is there someone who would benefit from your encouragement? Someone sing a great song this week? Let them know. Someone testify or lead the prayer time? Someone speak inspiringly? Then let them know. When you're on social media this week, try to be encouraging to people. Could you be someone's sponsor or mentor? Find someone to take a real interest in, to pay attention to? Is there someone who would benefit from your standing up for them, advocating on their behalf? Perhaps there's someone you could share your network with, someone who you could put them in touch with, who you know could help them. Maybe there's someone you could train up, someone you could share your skills with. Are you a musician or a technician, someone with IT skills maybe? On our leadership team, we've been thinking about whether we should have deputies or trainees to each of the leadership positions so that people could get an idea of what leadership is about. So we're seeking God's guidance and we're praying about having people as deputies or trainees. Knowing when to step back and retire is never an easy thing. I don't know if you've ever let anybody drive your car when they're learning to drive. It's a terrifying experience. It needs a particular type of courage to sit there while your son or daughter drives your precious car around. But sometimes we have to put our trust and our faith in people and encourage them to take center stage while we step back. This takes a particular kind of courage, putting someone else's needs in front of your own. Think how proud Barnabas must have been when Paul got up to speak and give those words of encouragement. The Salvation Army is known for the testimony times we hold in worship, like Jeff today or this time tomorrow. This is a time of encouragement. It was a usual part of synagogue worship. After the scripture reading, the leader of the synagogue would ask someone, maybe a visiting Pharisee, to offer words of encouragement. Don't think your story is not good enough or not spectacular enough. Everyone who notices God at work in their life has a story to tell, big or small. It's good to know we're not alone in our beliefs. Good to hear God working in and through the lives of other people, even in the everyday, ordinary things of life. If you have a word of encouragement, don't wait to be asked. Volunteer to give your testimony. We're happy to make room in the meeting for you. Barnabas saw something in Paul. He stood up for him, sponsored him, supported him, and encouraged him, as a result of which we see the church grow throughout the world. We can read this theology that shapes our Christian faith even today. Barnabas the encourager. Who can you encourage this week? Who can you sponsor and support? Who are you going to train up and share your skills and experience with? The church needs Barnabases and Pauls. You don't get a Paul without a Barnabas. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the story of Barnabas and Paul. Thank you for how we saw Barnabas encourage Paul. Help us to be encouragers. Forgive us for when we have been critical. Help us always to look for the best in people, to look for the potential in people, and to share with them our gifts and experiences so that they might reach their full potential. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
our benediction, some selected verses from the first and second letters to the Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. God bless you.